Bargain Basement Productions, in association with the Penny Pincher Players, presents Murder Under a Malathion Moon, a mystery for radio in four parts. Written and directed by Aaron Connolly and Jackie Loebland, engineered by Chris Matthews, with a musical score by Dawn Richardson. In episode 3, Midge and Seanie are hot on the trail of fancy nails. They've learned that something in Madame Mona's nail polish makes people so vain they probably think that song is about them. Vain enough for Lana Levine to throw herself out of a window chasing her own reflection. Rick Ledick chases his image to the death by leaping into the icy Pacific. They find Madame Mona and Vernon dead in their ransacked nail salon. Midge and Seanie are considering dropping the whole case and moving to Kuaipang. Perhaps you're considering it also after listening to a synopsis like this. And now the final episode of Murder Under a Malathion Moon.
Sherman! Oh, he's got that damn music up so loud he can't hear us out here. What is with him? He never listens to anything but Andy Williams records. Come on, Sherman! Let's go! I'm cold, we're in a big hurry, and I need a cup of coffee now!
Hello, ladies! Entree! Come into my love, then. What's new, pussycat? Wah, wah, wah!
Who is this Tom Jones reject? Where's Sherman?
Well, don't get your panties in a bundle. I guess you just don't recognize me without my glasses. Here we go. Now, check me out.
Oh, my God. Seanie, look at his nails.
Well, it's not really my color, but...
Oh, this is just terrific. This is like a bad science fiction movie, Invasion of the Ego Snatchers. Midge, why don't you go make some coffee? Maybe it'll snap him out of it.
Good idea. I'll be right back.
It's not unusual to be loved by anyone.
In your case, Sherman, it's pretty damn unusual. Sit down! Why did you put the polish on, Sherm? You were just supposed to be analyzing it.
Well, I ran a bunch of tests and came up with some pretty kooky, horrific compounds I'd never heard of before, so I thought I'd learn more by jumping right in and trying it myself. And do you know what I learned, Spleeny? I learned that science is a bore. I've decided to go back to my first love, lion taming. Hey, baby. Come here, little pussycat. Come to Papa.
Come on now, Sherman. Put that chair down.
Thank goodness he had some instant... What is happening here? Oh, Sherman, give me that whip. Now just sit down and have some coffee.
Ooh, so deliciously demanding. What do you say we skip the coffee and move right to the martunis, hmm?
We'll have martunis a little later. Now, why don't you be a good little... chemist and drink your coffee.
Baby, I told you I don't want any coffee.
Oh, come on, Sherm. One cup is not gonna kill you.
I'll write anything for you, my little squishy, softy, sugar-coated.
You're bugging me. Now drink. Seanie? Seanie, do something!
What?
Stick a spoon in his mouth or something. Oh, great. He swallowed it! Now what?
Go call an ambulance!
Right! Oh my God! He's not breathing! Seanie, get in here! What am I gonna do? Okay, calm down, calm down, calm down. Okay, let's see, let's see. First aid 101. Oh yeah, mouth to mouth.
Okay, they're on their way. Midge, stop that! Don't kiss him while he's dying! It's just disgusting!
It's no use. He's dead. What are we gonna do?
Wait a minute, the coffee! Seanie, don't drink the coffee!
I already drank half a cup.
Throw up! Here, open your mouth!
I said get your fingers out of my mouth! For crying out loud, Midge, calm yourself down! Now get a grip and think back. The coffee all over Vernon's dress, remember? Apparently this polish doesn't mix too well with the old Java. I've got a sneaking suspicion that the last thing Pinkie Pop saw before she bit the dust was the bottom of a coffee cup.
Seanie, what are you blathering about?
I'll explain later. We've got to get over to the station and check out Pinkie Pop's file.
Oh, I'm so tired. Where'd I put my cup of coffee? Oh, let's get out of here.
Lucky for us, Uncle Charlie is working the graveyard shift at the station.
He's having an argument with a suspected drug dealer when we walk in.
So if the 2 pounds of cocaine we found in your coat weren't yours, then whose were they?
My grandma's. She has a cataract.
I thought she drove a Chevy.
What? No, she has cataracts.
So?
What do you mean, so? Cataracts are very painful.
No. How do you use cocaine to cure cataracts?
I don't know. How do you?
Well, what you do is you take...
Hi, Uncle Charlie.
Francine! Midge! Get over here and give me a hug.
No.
Why not?
Pew.
Look, Uncle Charlie, we were hoping to get a look at Pinky Pop's file. Is there an autopsy report yet?
Where is that file? Oh, here it is. Go ahead and take a look at it, but you can't take it out of here.
Thanks, Uncle Charlie. Take a look at this photo, Midge.
Mm-hmm. There's that familiar polish, and there's definitely something spilled all over her.
Oh, that was just coffee.
Are you sure, Uncle Charlie?
Was it really coffee?
Yeah, it really was. What's the big deal? Coffee never killed anybody. Listen, don't waste your time on this case, girls. It was just a simple heart attack. This case was closed after the autopsy. I was just about to file this away, but I've still got a dead bishop on my hands with no leads, so I could really use your...
Hold it, Uncle Charlie. What's that on the cover of that file?
Well, this, MP. I just scribbled it down so I can find the file easier. It stands for Mrs. Pop.
Excuse me, sir, but we just found a couple of bags of marijuana in that guy's socks.
It's not mine. It's my Aunt Charlotte's. She's been going through chemotherapy, and she gets sick a lot.
Mm-hmm. I gotta go, girls.
Well, what do you think about that, Midge?
I think he does a lot of drugs. I think he's lying.
No, Midge. MP. MP.
QRSTUV. Let's go.
No. Look. The bishop's calendar book, remember? Look. MP at 2P.
Oh, yeah, Mrs. Pop. Yeah, but why would she be going to meet the bishop?
I don't know, but it was important enough for someone to want to stop her.
But maybe not. Maybe she just had a cup of coffee without knowing the consequences. She could have been addicted to the polish for a while.
Maybe, Midge, but I think Tippy Drake had something to do with it. She was seen outside of her apartment shortly before... You know.
Wait a minute. If Tippy Drake is in on this, chances are that E equals MC squared is next on her hit list. I'd better call him and see if he's okay.
Okay, Midge. You try and set up an appointment with him tomorrow afternoon. In the meantime, I'll get a hold of Steve Trusty to get the big scoop on Ms. Drake.
It's 3:42 a.m. I'm exhausted. Maybe it's because I didn't meet my normal coffee quota. Coffee just didn't seem that appealing to me today. Needless to say, my tolerance level is pretty low right now, so I'm a little annoyed when I get home and find that my porch light is burned out again. Funny, I just replaced it the other day. I grope along trying to find my door. Reminds me of that miserable case of the missing guide dog at the Braille Institute. Ouch! Damn cactus. I manage to screw the bulb back in, but in the process, I dump all of my tampons on the ground. I think about leaving them there, but I'm on a budget, so I pick them up. As a dart passes by my ear, I realize that's probably the last sound the bishop heard before he dropped dead. And Madame Mona, too. For a moment, I consider chasing this slime ball, but then it dawns on me that all I've got to threaten him with is a box of tampons. They're not even supers. I put on a glove and remove the dart. Once inside my apartment, I dust the dart for prints. No luck. I drop it in a glass filled with hydrogen peroxide, hoping to get the poison out of the tip. I'm pretty shaken up, so I decide to run a bath before hitting the old mattress.
Zini. Knock it off! What are you doing throwing tampons at me?
You're just lucky they're not supers. For God's sakes, Ronnie, what are you doing here, and how did you get in?
You left the door open. Oh, I'm in trouble, Zini. I figured I'd better come clean before this thing gets more out of hand than it already is. You know, the money you've been getting every week? That's been coming from me. And the first call you received about fancy nails? That came from me, too. It all started when I signed Lana Levine. She came into my office with a man she introduced as her manager. She didn't give me any name for him except fancy nails. We drew up a contract, and I felt myself being strangely attracted to this funny little man. Shortly after, we became involved in a very steamy romance. One night, after making mad, passionate love, he got a sudden urge for frozen yogurt and ran out of the door. The phone rang and his answering machine picked it up. The message that was left gave me the shock of my life.
Fancy nails. The perfect opportunity has come up for you to bump off the bishop. He'll be at the Arts Festival parade tomorrow at 4th and Broadway. Be there no later than 10:45 a.m. Shoot him and get rid of the gun. And don't leave any fingerprints. Don't chicken out on me this time, Fancy Nails, if you know what's good for you. Murder's something you're gonna have to get used to.
That's when I called you. I used a bandana wrapped around the receiver and a paper towel tube to disguise my voice. Well, then I quickly jumped into the shower so he wouldn't think I heard the message.
Why didn't you call the cops, Ronnie, a big bonehead?
I did! I just didn't want to leave my name. Things had just started going so good for me. I wanted to keep me and Lana out of this whole mess. If I had to rely on you and Midge, I would never have been able to afford a coffee maker. He was such a nice little guy. It's hard to believe he was capable of shooting someone.
It's interesting, though. The bishop wasn't killed with a gun. He was killed with a dart.
Oh, I didn't think he was capable of doing such a thing.
Now, wait a minute, Ronnie. That doesn't make this guy Mother Teresa. Since he was involved with Lana, you can be sure he was behind Astral's kidnapping.
Yeah, well, I figured as much. Oh, well, I like being single. More room in a bed. You know, no one picking at your food.
Yeah,
no,
and I love being an out-of-work actress. Stick to the subject, Ronnie. You know you're in a lot of trouble.
Oh, my God! Well, you don't think I'll go to jail, do you? Oh, I couldn't. Who would take care of my cats?
Now, calm down, Ronnie. You're going to knock something up. Oh, great. This is the only piece of evidence I have. Wait a minute. What is this?
Piece of paper?
No, I know that. It used to be a dart. Poisoned, I assume. It must have unraveled in the peroxide. Now it's a rejection letter from the National Endowment for the Arts? Was this Fancy Nails guy involved in the arts as far as you know?
I don't think so. He dabbled in tie-dye once in a while for relaxation.
Well, we've got a lot of work to do. Now that you've come clean, Ronnie, you're going to have to help me with the rest of this. Now, give me some more money.
It's after 1 when I finally roll out of bed. I must have pushed the snooze button 22 times. I call Midge to find out what time we're meeting with E equals MC², but there's no answer. Now that coffee isn't that appealing anymore, she's probably sleeping in later than usual. While I'm waiting for her to get back to me, I decide to call Steve Trusty and get the lowdown on Tippy Drake.
Trusty Detective Agency. You can trust us to find justice. How can I help you?
Twinkie, it's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini.
Oh, great. I can't think of anything I'd rather do than talk to you. Maybe have my car towed or my nose broken, stub my toe, run over a cat.
Watch it, Twinkie. I understand you only have a shelf life of 27 years. Now let me talk to Steve.
Hi, doll. Sorry I missed you at the party last night. I passed out doing the hokey pokey. Missed all the excitement. So what's up?
I need a little more info about the whereabouts of Tippy Drake at the time of Pinkie Pop's death.
Lay off the babe. I told you she was clean. You think Angus Pop would be so chumming with someone that snubbed out his wife? Sure, he was a little suspicious of her at first, being that she had paid a little visit to Pinkie shortly before she died. But I checked with the neighbors. Apparently, Pinkie had been seen by several people taking out the trash after Tippy had gone. They said she looked good. Real good for her, in fact. Angus just wanted to be sure before he got involved with Tippy that she was clean, you know? Now he's satisfied, so why aren't you?
They didn't happen to notice if her nails were freshly painted when she took out the trash, did they?
Yeah, right. And they noticed she had a freckle on her tush, too. Come on, Sini.
Never mind, Steve, you pig. I think I already know the answer.
It's 4:15. Midge hasn't called, and she's still not answering her phone. I call E equals MC². He tells me Midge was supposed to be at his house at 2 p.m. I call Ronnie and tell her to drag Midge's sorry butt from the bedsheets and meet me at E equals MC² house pronto. It's me, Sini. Sini Rigatini.
Oh, hey, Jeannie, what's up? Come on in. Oh, sorry, you kind of got to watch your step. I've been meaning to clean this place.
Where's Midge, Mr. Square?
You can call me E, Greenie. She hasn't shown up.
Well, I don't have time to wait. E... You're going to have to come clean about that image consultant of yours, Tippy Drake.
All I know is she's been trying to get me to wear eyeshadow lately. She picks out my clothes and drives me to get my hair cut, so...
Has she also suggested a nice nail polish?
Don't know what you mean. Listen, I'm gonna jump in the shower.
Hold it, E. Stop skirting around the issue, or it's gonna be curtains for you.
All right, okay. Yeah, she's been pretty pushy about the polish. I kept telling her I wasn't no boy George. Besides, I didn't want to end up acting like Rick. She said he just went overboard with this stuff. if you'll excuse the pun. Besides, he was kind of a dork before he started wearing that junk. I figure I'm cool enough as I already am, don't you think? Yo, Midge, finally already. Come on in.
Sadie, Midge's place is a total disaster.
I know. She's been waiting around for a maid to appear and work for fun. Where is she?
Oh, no. It looks like there was a struggle and she's gone, Sadie, gone. And she left her makeup.
That's bad, Ronnie. Real bad. E, we need to find Tippy Drake now.
I don't know.
Think, E, think. Oh, poor Midge is probably being tortured as we speak. She's probably got mattress hair and no makeup on.
Okay, Oh, yeah. Sometimes Tippy hangs out in Chinatown. Some performance artist has a loft down there.
As the sun sets, Ronnie and I race toward Chinatown with only one headlight and no brake lights. I usually avoid drawing attention to myself, but I'm pushing my four little cylinders to the limit tonight. We park and head toward the loft entrance. This could be a suicide mission. I don't have a gun. I don't even have any tampons. We hear some footsteps. Ronnie quickly leaps into an unlocked car while I hit the dirt.
Oh, please don't be dead!
Oh, it's Midge, isn't it? Oh, Midge, don't worry. Before they close up that coffin, I'll make sure they make your lips look three times the size they really are, just like you used to like them. I'll get you a nice manicure. No,
Sadie. It's not Midge. It's my funny little fancy nails.
Quick, give me his wallet.
Stealing money from a dead man. Sadie, how could you?
Let's see. New York driver's license. Daryl Krebs. This is Vernon Veronica, the drag queen's brother. Think, Sini, think. Krebs, where have I heard that name before? Then it hits me. I was having a cheap Danish at Nellie's Diner on Sunset about 10 years ago. I was reading an article about an embezzlement scandal at Dino Disc Records. It seems that one partner, Genghis Pop, was trying to clear the other partner of criminal charges. It's my guess that Genghis was the guilty partner and not the other, which would explain why shortly after the scandal, that partner disappeared. That partner was Daryl Krebs.
Oh, this is splendid. Now we have three little piggies. Come inside, little piggies, or I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your face off. Now move it.
All right, but if anything has happened to Midge, I'm gonna kick your butt, Baldy.
Genghis, look what the cat spit up in the parking lot.
So the whole cast is assembled. Across the room stands Genghis Pop. Standing next to him, Tippy Drake. On a landing above stands Victor wearing a lab coat. I guess he was the chemist for this creepy organization. Strapped to a chair in the center of the room is poor Midge. Her wrists are tightly bound and her fingers are individually secured to the arms of the chair with leather straps. I get a chill as I hear coffee percolating in the next room. To my right, the lovely and, of course, bald as a baby's butt, Rainy Underwall. So why the gun, Rainy? Run out of darts? No more rejection letters? By the way, I've been wanting to ask you, how did you manage to kill the bishop in front of God and everybody? Oh, yeah. The old dart in the flute trick.
Put a lid on it, Rainy.
I don't care what this little piggy knows. She's gonna be bacon in about half an hour anyway.
Shut up, Rainy. I know, Sini. She wouldn't be stupid enough to just walk in here alone without her Uncle Charlie and the whole police force waiting outside. She wouldn't be such a complete fool as to come here with only that little toad Ronnie Wonder as backup. Huh. Isn't that right, Sini?
Well, that's right. Any minute now, they'll be busting in here. But before they come in and take you all away, I've got a couple of questions to ask. How'd you kill Pinky, Tippy? Did you strap her down like Midge here?
Don't be ridiculous. Genghis, you know I had nothing to do with that. Pinky was alive and well after I left her. The neighbors have already attested to that fact.
Genghis, when did you first discover that the combination of coffee and your potent polish is lethal?
Well, I didn't.
Tippy pointed it out after she and Rainey witnessed Vernon having a heart attack when drinking coffee. I had Victor do some experimenting on mice.
You've always been ambitious, Genghis, haven't you? Can you deny framing Daryl Krebs 10 years ago? You framed him, and then you cleared his name after he agreed to give up his shares in the company. You handed him some piddly job working under you. Didn't you ever wonder why he kept that piddly little job? He was just waiting for the day he could get back at you, and the polish was his ticket to do just that. He went from partner to indentured servant. While you were trying to make superstars out of Rick LeDick and E equals MC squared, he was working on selling the polish around the world. His plan would start in Australia, distributing the polish as he moved across the continents. Soon he'd have enough money to buy Dino Disc Records 40 times over. But you found out about his little plan, so you got rid of him. Wraps up pretty neatly, except for one thing. I've seen the police photos of your wife's body. She was covered in coffee. What makes you think Tippy didn't just go over there and give Pinky a nice, friendly little manicure?
That's simply nonsense. Nonsense! Nonsense! You remember what Steve told you? Pinky was still alive when I left.
Sure, the coffee was probably still percolating, eh, Tippy? You've been watching Victor work. I'm sure you could have used your charms to find out all the little quirks of the polish.
Genghis, don't listen to her. I had no idea that the coffee and the polish would kill anyone if used together until after I saw Vernon have that heart attack. I swear it. You must believe me. I've always loved you, Genghis. I could never do anything to hurt you.
Tippy, if you double-cross me...
Genghis, you were probably so upset you didn't notice the color of polish your wife was wearing. But I noticed. I saw it in the photos at the police station.
She's bluffing, Genghis. And she's bluffing about the police, too. I'm not paid to be bored out of my mind listening to this drivel. It's a sad state of affairs that art has to imitate life when life is such a dreadful bore. It's beyond my comprehension that my creative genius is being financed by such a group of jelly-kneed plebeians. I lost my grant from the National Endowment for the Arts. I had to find financial backing for my next project, but I cannot believe who the backers turned out to be. I wouldn't give any one of you the sweat off my back to drink if you were dying of thirst. Thank God the work itself is so much fun. Unfortunately, I've run out of rejection letters to make my darts out of. Perhaps I can use your hair after you're dead. Now, let's get rid of these three.
Are you saying that you're going to be paid to kill me? So that means, in essence, I would be funding your next embarrassing attempt at that whatever you do that you have the nerve to call art? Over my dead body?
That's exactly where I'm going to perform it.
You're bugging me.
I can't believe what's just happened. Midge has flung the heel of her best black pump into Rainey Underwall's eye. Rainey's gun drops to the floor. Victor jumps from the landing and grabs it.
Call the police, Sini Rigottini. I'm going to get my wife.
After the police had taken everyone away, Victor, the bouncer with the tattoo on his face, told me his story. Apparently, he and his wife were the missing Brazilian couple the bishop had been searching for. While on vacation in Brazil, Genghis Pop, the mysterious American businessman, learned of the powerful polish. Victor was the medicine man in the tribe, so Genghis kidnapped his wife and blackmailed Victor into manufacturing the polish in America for Genghis's own selfish purposes. Pinky Pop learned of her husband's dealings, and when she read that the bishop was looking for a missing Brazilian couple, she made an appointment to meet with him during his visit to L.A. Tippy killed Pinky before that meeting occurred. Perhaps if they had met, none of this would have been necessary. I asked Victor how he was able to be so patient throughout the ordeal.
In my tribe, we use the compound only 1 week out of the year in a spiritual growth ritual. Mirrors and coffee are not allowed. I knew that in L.A. it wouldn't be too long before all those who abuse the compound would self-destruct. Overindulgence is a certainty in this town.
It seems obvious to me that Victor doesn't love L.A., so it's better that he gets the hell out. It's now 10:34 p.m. I'm listening to my messages. My cats are barking to go outside, but they can just forget it. I can hear the helicopters approaching. It's going to be raining malathion any minute now. I've got to remember to move my car. Street cleaning tomorrow. Did I mention the parking problem?
I'll kill you. Oh, and another thing.
That little toad, Ronnie Wonder, is going to be calling you any minute now. She's got another bogus audition set up. She just tried to loop me into going. Just skip it, Seanie. Believe me, this one is a real loser. Oh, and do me a favor. Leave me alone for a while.
Seanie, I got you an audition tomorrow. Get this, little Bo Peep. I know what you're thinking, but it's later on in her life. She doesn't do the thing with the sheep anymore. She's moved to L.A. and is living on a budget, just like you. Isn't that perfect, huh?
Teeny rigatini, I know you think I mean it, but why don't you leave me alone? Cause I'm playing hers and hisy, and I'm really kinda busy, and there's better not be you on the phone. Midge ratatini, teeny rigatini, no you don't wanna take my call. But if we don't stop and fancy nails, it's gonna pop him and the bishop is gonna fall. It's gonna be a murder under a Malathea moon. Murder under a Malathea moon.
86, 87, 88, 89 cents. Who gets the extra penny?
All this poverty stuff is bugging me.
Murder under a Malathea moon.
That concludes the final episode of Murder Under a Malathion Moon, with Aaron Connolly as Seanie Rigatini, Jackie Loebland as Midge Newton, Dane Christopher as Sherman, Armando Duran as Victor and Genghis Pop, Terry Gervin as Ronnie Wonder, The Shribe as E equals MC squared, Sarah Bowers as Twinkie, Peter DePaula as Steve Trusty, Noelle McGrath as Rainy Underwall, Julie Segovia as Tippy Drake, Dano Hess as Drug Dealer, Scott Dorfman as Uncle Charlie, Chris Matthews as Policeman. The Malathion Moon Tune was performed by Aaron Connolly and Jackie Loebland. Lyrics by Aaron Connolly. Music by Aaron Connolly, Dano Hess, and Chris Matthews. Script edited by Kathy Lepard. Additional comic material from Scott Dorfman. Artwork and graphics by Harriet Kemp. Special thanks to everyone who donated their time and energy and patience to make this project possible. Keep listening for our next mystery adventure, The Tabloid Torture of Tess von Tosterone.